And thank you to the band for playing so beautifully and for David for leading that first part of the service. Those who know his name will trust in him. That's what I want to speak to you about this morning. Do you know the name of Jesus? Do you know who he is? And for the next few Sunday mornings, that's what we're going to be focusing on, because Christianity without Christ is not the real thing. You're perhaps here this morning and you're thinking things through. You're trying to make sense of it all. And I just want you to go straight to the source and understand who this person, Jesus Christ, is. I've got a free book for you this morning. You can stampede to the door. First one gets it. It's called The Life, A Portrait of Jesus by J. John. And this Tuesday evening, if you're seeking to know more about the Christian faith, then let me know. Speak to Danny. We're starting a new course called Just 10, which is written by this man, J. John. Those who know his name will trust in him. For God never forsakes, never abandons the person who seeks after him. Are you seeking after Jesus this morning? Perhaps you are a Christian. Perhaps you are a believer, and you've been on that journey for a while now, and you've been hitting a few roadblocks, or perhaps some suffering has cut into your life, and you're asking, how am I going to cope over the next 6 months? Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe family members are unwell. How am I going to cope? How am I going to get through this time? Those who know his name will trust in him. Perhaps you're wrestling with some moral decisions. Is this the right way to go? I know what the Bible says, but can I really trust the way that Jesus is telling me to go? Are you listening to him? Yes, you're listening to him, but are you following him? Those who know his name will trust in him, and he will never forsake those. He will never let you down. He will never abandon you. But you have to know him to trust in him. See, this letter that we've written, the book of Hebrews, is to people who know who he is. They have given their lives to following him. They have come under persecution, and even their homes have been confiscated. Can you imagine if the state took possession of your home and you were homeless and you were walking away with your family, and maybe you're looking back and your house is on fire, and you hear the words, those who know his name will trust in him. Can you trust in Jesus when everything else falls away? If everything else was taken from you, would you say, my life is still significant? My life is still full of hope. My life is an eternal life because I know his name and I trust in him. And my confidence in him will not be shaken by the temporary things that are happening around me right now. How do I know that this name of Jesus is a name that we can trust? If we can put the slides up, please. And the first slide, please. This week, I'm sure you've noticed, the world's richest company launched the iPhone 10. And they're claiming that it's not only a smartphone, but it's the best smartphone. It's the smartphone above all other smartphones. In fact, it's going to define the future of smartphones. But how do they back up that claim? You know, you might have an Android phone this morning and you think, well, my Android's just as good as that iPhone 10. How do you know? Well, you need some reasons. So the reasons are listed: a 5.8-inch, 8-inch edge-to-edge screen, an OLED technology. I'm going to say this as if I know what it is, okay? An OLED technology, HDR compatibility, and other things. How does the author to the Hebrews tell us that Jesus is the name above all other names? He has his list, and it's almost as complicated as what I've read from the iPhone. So I'm really concerned this morning, if I go through how the author to the Hebrews does it, I'll lose half of you. So if you come back this evening, I'll take you through it line by line. But this morning, I just want to get across that big point. Those who know his name will trust in him. And how do we know that we can trust him? We can trust him because God said he is the Son of God. God said he is my son. God said he is the Messiah. He is the Lord of all. Because God said it. And the author to the Hebrews, when he does his list of the reasons why Jesus is the name above all other names, he quotes a range of songs from the book of Psalms, and he says, I don't need to explain it. It's in Scripture, therefore God said it. You might not understand why I picked these verses from the Old Testament, but I'm so steeped in God's words, that if it's there in Scripture, it means that God said it. So God said that Jesus is the name above other names, and we can trust in him. You see, he was speaking to this community who used to be practicing Jews, and they believed that Moses received the Ten Commandments. We all know that, don't we? On the tablets. But the Jewish tradition was that the angels had given the law. So that the law came to Moses through the angels. Wow! A message from an angel. How fantastic is that? But the author to the Hebrews says, to which of the angels did God ever say, he's my son? To which of the angels did God ever say, you were there at the very beginning, you created the world? To which of the angels did God ever say, your throne will last forever? You will be in charge of all things, not just today, but forever and ever and ever. And he will reign forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. To which of the angels did God ever say, worship him, worship him? What is worship? Worship is the submission of all of our being to God, the whole of our life for him. Our work, our family, our time, our diary. If God was to fill in the blanks in our diary, what would our diary look like? We worship him in song. Worship is a submission of all our nature to God. And when we worship him, we get rid of that self-centeredness, that preoccupation with self. To which of the angels did God say, all your enemies, everyone that is opposed to you, is under your feet? See, that's his list. That's his list in simple terms. And I'll show you this evening a bit more about that, if you can come back or listen online. But this issue of trusting God's words, this is not about the Apple, by the way, in case you're getting confused. This is not about the Apple iPhone 10. I've moved on. I'm talking about another apple, not a mango. It might not even have been an apple, I'm not sure, but it was a fruit. And God said, I love you. I provide for you. All this provision. You can have any fruit you want, anything you want. But this one tree over here, I don't want you to do that. It was a test of whether we know him. Is God a spoil sport? Is God mean-spirited that he would want to restrict our lives and say, don't do that because he's just got some kind of power trip over us? Or is it that he is our creator and he knows what's best for us and he says, don't do that because he doesn't want us to get hurt? And there was this dodgy angel. He used to be one of the top angels. You've heard of Angel Gabriel, haven't you? The Christmas story. Well, there was this other one called Lucifer, and he was way up there with Gabriel. There was God, and there was these created angels, and Lucifer had one of the top jobs. And he had the pride set in, and he just said, actually, I'm as good as God. In fact, I'd like to have God's job. And God said, no chance, and kicked him out of heaven. And he fell to earth. And there at the beginning, we have this story of Adam and Eve. And God gives his word, and the devil says, did God really say? Did God really say, you must not eat from the tree of the garden? And he's been doing that ever since. So those who know his name will trust in him. And as we seek to know his name and we read his word, the devil whispers, did God really say that? Is Jesus really so special? Did Jesus... Is it true that Jesus was sinless? Are you sure about that? Did he really rise from the dead? And okay, if you accept all that, do you really need to give him the whole of your lives? Can you not just come to church on a Sunday and have your hour and then just live the rest of the week however you want? You'll still get into heaven. That's what the devil does. He likes to undermine what God is saying to us because he's a dodgy angel and he should have been worshiping God. Instead, he was undermining God, a very serious thing to do. But at the end of these early chapters of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, there's a promise. There's a promise to the offspring of Eve. And the offspring of this Satan. I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. So the offspring of Eve, who's that? It's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus. He's the one who's going to crush Satan's head. But Satan will be striking at the heel. But the writer to the Hebrews says, at the end of his list of the reasons why Jesus is the name above all other names, he says, and he will put all his enemies under his feet. Under his feet. Those who know his name will trust in him. And the devil came to Jesus in his earthly life, and he tempted him. And this is how he tempted him. He said, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. Because the devil knew that if he could undermine who Jesus was in his own mind and his whole ministry, then he would not be able to win that salvation for us. He wouldn't be able to go to the cross. He wouldn't be able to live a righteous life. He'd just undermine his identity. And the devil's still doing that today. Perhaps you've decided to follow Jesus quite recently. Maybe you've started walking as a Christian. You know that you've asked God to forgive you. You know you've put your trust in Jesus. You know that he's living in your life. But you keep getting these thoughts that are saying, are you sure? Are you sure you're a Christian? Are you sure? Why didn't you just give it up? I don't think you're a real Christian. He's still doing it today. He likes to undermine the words of God. The words of God. So what is this writer to the Hebrews saying? He says, first of all, God says, Jesus is my son. Jesus is my son. He's in a unique relationship with me. There's no one else in heaven or on earth who has this unique relationship with me. Jesus himself said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. If you want to know what God is like, you look at Jesus, because he is the exact imprint of God's nature. What does that mean? It means that he is compassionate. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in love and faithfulness. He is holy. He hates wickedness. He hates what happened in that terrorist attack this week. He hates it. He loves righteousness. He loves justice. This week we had the judge from the Grenfell community opening the inquiry to understand the truth of what happened in this fire. And he had the title judge, or Sir Martin is his name, something like that. So he's got the title. Everyone knows he's the judge. And the people in the community are saying, I don't trust him. I don't like the way he presented himself. He gave his prepared speech and he walked out. Did you follow it this week? Did you follow it on the news? And so the residents of Grenfell, don't trust this guy. But he's got all the qualifications and the title, and they're going to give him the benefit of the doubt. They don't know him. They don't know him personally. And if we know someone, we can trust them. I can give you the titles of Jesus, that he is the Savior. Jesus the Savior. That's his personal name. Jesus the Christ. He's the King, ruling over all. The promised King. Brings in his kingdom of righteousness and justice. He's the Lord, risen from the dead. Exalted to the throne of God. That's the titles. You can trust in him. You can stake your whole life on him. But you need to know him. You need to know him personally. Every single one of you today can know him personally. He will not forsake anyone. He will not turn anyone away who wants to seek after him. If you seek him with all of your heart, you will certainly find him. And in him, you will find the one who is in a unique relationship with the Father. You will find that he takes control of our lives, which for some of you might be a terrifying thing, to give up control. There's a story about the man who was hanging off the edge of a cliff, and he was just holding on to a couple of tufts of grass. And he was going, "Help! Help! Is anybody up there?" He said, "It's God." "Is anyone else up there?" You know, this idea of giving our lives to God is a threatening thing. But when you know that he is his character, when you get to know him through his word, you can trust him with everything. I wish I had time to tell you stories of the way that God has been faithful to me and my family over many years, but I have been blown away with his love, his grace, his kindness, his provision. And the wonderful thing about him is he's not like a perfectionist headmaster who's waiting for us to trip up. In fact, he loves to get alongside us when we know we have failed. And he picks us up and he pours his strength into our lives. His rule in our lives is wonderful. Put your trust in him. And the next slide, please. God is more reliable than the clicker. His unique victory. What is that victory? You see, often people focus on Jesus' life, and he was a wonderful teacher, and he did wonderful things. But it's his death on the cross, because all of us have not lived the life we were intended to live. All of us have fallen short of God's wonderful plan for our lives. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to reflect his character. And we've chosen selfishness rather than that life of worship, of giving ourselves to him. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that, there is this sentence hanging over us, because God is completely righteous and just, that we deserve to be separated from God forever, like Adam and Eve, chucked out of the garden. That's what we deserve. But God, in his love, sent Jesus to come and die on the cross so that we could be brought back into relationship with him. If he had remained a dead man that had hung on a cross in the tomb, it would have been no victory. But he was risen on the third day. The reason he was risen on the third day was that death could not hold him, because death is for sinners. And Jesus was perfect. And he was risen by his Father on the third day, vindicated. He was raised, ascended to the throne of God. And that's where you get the worship. That's when people started to worship him, the risen Jesus. How can you trust the words of Jesus when you rise from the dead? If he can do that, then everything else he said must be true as well. Jesus said that I will go to Jerusalem, I will be arrested, I will be killed by the chief priests and the Roman rulers. They're going to kill me. But on the third day, I will rise again. The disciples heard these words. When he died on the cross, they were distraught. They were depressed. They were disillusioned. Some went back to their old jobs. On the third day, he rose from the dead, and they said, "Wow, he's not only here, but he's completely trustworthy. All his words are true. Everything he said is true." And they worshipped him. Jewish monotheists worshipping a risen Jesus of Nazareth. You've got to grasp that. For a Jew to worship another Jew is totally blasphemous. But they're worshiping their rabbi because they've come to know who he is. And when they came to know who he is, they trusted in him, his unique victory, his unique position in heaven, and his unique call upon our lives. And that's where I want to end this morning. If you want to hear more, come back this evening. But God is calling each of us to pay attention to what he has said. Don't be like Adam and Eve. They heard what God had said, but they deliberately didn't pay attention. And if we do not pay attention to what God has said, we are going to drift. And the greatest danger in the Christian life is not the big sins. Some people think, well, the big sins are the adultery and the dishonesty. The big sins are so dramatic that we have an opportunity to repent and return to God. The really dangerous sins is the subtle ones, when we're drifting and we don't realize we're drifting, and we wake up one day and we wonder why we feel so distant from God. So pay attention to what he has said. And if you've been hearing God's words all your life, then you know all about him. And we will be judged according to what we know. As teachers, we will be judged more strictly because we're working with God's words all day. But let us have a bit of fear of God as well. He's offered us this wonderful life, but he says, watch out. Watch out. Wake up. Understand reality. Understand, my son has given everything for you. He's given you all the provision you need for life, for joy, for wholeness, for peace. But if you will not listen to my son, if you will just pretend it's like any other claim, you're in great danger. But today, if we hear his voice and do not harden our hearts, then we will receive his grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Is that true for you this morning? Is that grace offered to you in Jesus on this Harvest Sunday, a grace that you are receiving, not just in your ears, but in your heart and in the responsive obedience of your whole life? Because worship is a responsive obedience. It's a submission. It's a surrender. Jesus is above all and calls us to follow him. Will you put your trust in him today? I just long for those of you that are sitting on the fence to really take Jesus at his word, to really enter into that life to the full that he's promising you. Don't waste your life. Don't choose second best. Give him everything. And I long for those of you that are tasting and seeing that God is good, and you just want to know a little bit more before you can make that step of trust. And we just, as a church, we really I want to walk with you and help you. But the wonderful thing about God is that even though we don't understand everything, and you don't have to understand every single reference this morning, let's take the main point. Even though you don't understand everything, you can still, like a little child, come into that full relationship with Him. Faith and then understanding. Open up your life to Him this morning. Allow Him to come in, and He will guide your paths in the way of righteousness. Shall we pray? So this morning, Lord, we just want to thank You for Your amazing provision. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. We pray this morning that we would have life from You. We affirm this morning that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be forgiven and set free. We want to put our trust afresh in Your wonderful name. We affirm this morning that we have sinned against You, sometimes deliberately and other times by just knowingly drifting, knowingly putting You in a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth place. Lord, we come back to You. Forgive us for the times when we've taken Your gifts and we've turned them into gods. We've put all our security and significance in our work or in our possessions or in our relationships. Lord, we freely confess this morning that You alone are our God and You alone are the source of our life. Thank You that You paid for all our mistakes. Thank You that You came and died on the cross for us. And we receive afresh Your forgiveness. We thank You that You have offered us eternal life, a life of joy and peace and fulfillment. But we also ask, Lord, that You'd help us to always remember that that life is being connected to the life source, which is You. So this morning we invite You again to take our hand and lead us on. We want to surrender our lives to You because we know You and we trust in You. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.